Hello everyone. Welcome to week number 4 of 10 Minutes, 12 Weeks for a New View of Life. I'm Kathy Kirk, founder of Applied Spirituality, and it's truly my pleasure to be here. I remind you that, number 1, this is a religions neutral zone, meaning all religions are welcomed here. Number 2, everything is proprietary information and may not be reproduced without written expressed consent. And number 3, get a journal and begin taking notes, communicate with yourself, write questions, enter your ahas, and do the homework assignments. Recapping where we've been so far, in week number 1, I called on you to make a commitment to love yourself and be your own best friend and champion. I asked you to choose yourself for perhaps the first time in your life. If you haven't done that yet, consider why you haven't and move towards being able to do that. In week number 2, I talked about your free will choice, gently replacing responsibility for the focus of your mind and thoughts into your own hands. As sovereign over the realm of you, no one can ever, in the final analysis, make you focus anywhere you don't want to. In week number 3, we talked about who you really are, source energy focused in a physical format. Through your free will choice, you get to say what you focus on with your powerful source energy. And by your choices of focus, your source energy you create into your physical experience. This week, we're going to talk about human thought. So let's get started. Message number 4. The misperceptions, myths, and false beliefs of human mind. Human mind is referred to with various labels in our language, ego and intellect being two of them. Monkey mind is a Buddhist term meaning unsettled, restless, capricious, whimsical, fanciful, inconstant, confused, indecisive, and uncontrollable. Human mind is the collection of myths, superstitions, false beliefs, stories, and legends of varying degrees of truth that we've been taught by other humans. The significant ingredient to human mind is that without connection to source energy, or truth, or beauty, or goodness, or infinite possibilities, or wisdom, it is the mind that feels separated from God, unloved, fearful, and in lack. To my thinking, this is the real essential meaning of the story of Adam and Eve. The story of Adam and Eve appears in the Christian, Hebrew, and Islamic traditions. Also note the yin-yang symbol of the Taoists. It tells the story of when consciousness felt something other than God or oneness. We, consciousness, became aware of something else. Thus, duality or variety was born into our awareness. Every culture has reference to dualism, light, dark, good, bad, them, us. If we step back and recognize that every culture across the planet has a story of dualism, then this was a big event for mankind that was experienced unilaterally as painful. The Christians called it a fall from grace, seeing it as punishment, assumed it was punishment. And from there, we were all off creating all kinds of ideas about why we got kicked out. We must have been bad. We must have been unworthy. But now it's the 21st century, and we have the ability to consider things differently with a new view. What if we weren't being punished at all? What if this experience of separation from source and its painfulness in the form of negative emotions is simply the consequence of non-physical consciousness in oneness choosing to come into physical dense format? What if physical format is the farthest outpost from pure consciousness? Let me give you a picture in your mind to illustrate what I'm suggesting. Consider the common states of matter, solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. If we use water as our example and consider each state of matter as representative of a state of consciousness, Then we have ice as the most dense, as consciousness on Earth. Liquid water as consciousness on Earth in a less dense state. In humidity or water vapor. And plasma as consciousness in non-physical oneness with Source. In other words, the journey of vibrational consciousness in a physical birth is from oneness with Source, plasma or gas, into liquid and or solid in the physical body. It was not a punishment, but the result of squeezing pure consciousness into physical form. Nobody was bad, but it created a duality and therefore creates variety and choice. The essential nature of Source is variety, variety, variety. And with variety comes choice. And with choice comes infinite possibilities to create anything. So what if we all misinterpreted the pain of separation as punishment? What if that's simply the rules of the game in order to have a world, a universe of infinite possibilities? In oneness, there's no variety. We are all in well-being. There is nothing other than God or good, nothing other than fulfillment and joy. But here, on Earth, there is the game, where we are the leading edge of creation. We are the very expansion of Source Energy itself, in infinite variety and form, by our focus and choices. And by this, the universe expands as well as we wish for something new or better. Human mind has been the keeper of all limiting beliefs and myths from the beginning of time. All of us have participated in the game of human mind. These are the things we were taught as truth. It's the way it is, like the world is flat. As we evolve and expand as a race, our consciousness expands, and we are able to access higher levels of truth and wisdom. Creations that we bring into physical form as a result of disconnection from Source or from human mind are without love, truth, beauty, or goodness. They are increasingly complex and convoluted. The study of psychology is the study of human mind and its myriad maladies. And if you ever noticed, for every creation, there's a choice in its application, to use it to affirm life or to destroy it. It's our choice. We get to choose. Earth is such a zone of free will choice where anything and everything gets to be here. Sounds like the United States, an experiment in democracy where we say that every idea gets to be here. Obviously, we're still working that one out, and we will, because the United States is a microcosm, an allegory for consciousness. Once we understand how the rules work, that it is an attraction-based universe and nothing comes into our experience except through our personal free will choice to pay attention with our thought, then we will be unafraid of anything that anyone else chooses to create. Such is pure consciousness, God, if you will. All thought is within it. Everything is included, and nothing asserts into anything else unless invited. Human mind lives in fear. This is the essence of current politics. Laws are made to protect and defend ourselves from the acts of others. Yet this is already in place vibrationally. As we get better at understanding how we create the whole of our own reality, we will realize that we have nothing to fear when we are focused on our joy alone and we stop poking our noses into what others are up to. There is a term, laissez-faire. It comes from the French laisser, the imperative of laisser, to allow, to let, plus faire, meaning to do. The term refers to a governmental policy of non-interference in a free enterprise system, and by extension, a policy of non-interfering with anyone's choice or actions. Left alone, without interference, an organism, an individual, will eventually choose what feels more life-affirming for them. If this were not true, there would be no evolution or expansion or growth. But there is. There always is, and there's always improvement. Always. This is the nature of the universe. This is the essential nature of Source. And we, as Source Energy in physical form, will always move towards our good, our joy, and our expansion and growth over time. The speed, of course, is determined by the machinations and interferences of the false beliefs lodged in the human mind. As we release these, we evolve and expand, returning to oneness more rapidly. What this all means to you. Number one, consider the operating beliefs you now hold in your human mind that hold you back, limit you, and make you fearful or powerless. These are human mind that serve no purpose. Number two, consider the idea that consciousness, you, is God itself, and when squeezed into human physical format, created a great game of variety and free will choice for the adventure. Number three, consider releasing the old view for a new view, freeing yourself to follow your joy and bliss. And number four, consider a world where we all understand that everything gets to be here and you have nothing to fear or protect yourself from because you know how the game is played. If you pay attention to it, you're inviting it into your experience. If you allow it to be and don't resist or push against it, make it bad or wrong, but allow, it stays where it is and you don't have the experience of it. Your homework for this week. Number one, keep doing your breath exercises several times a day, remembering that you are inviting in life force with your breath that enlivens you. It is life itself. All is well on each in-breath. Number two, write into your journal an example of something that is in your experience now that is unwanted. Sickness, rudeness, disrespect, excess weight. Now, in light of what you're learning about the power of your focus on any subject, how much are you focusing on that every day? Consider how much you focus your life force on that subject in ancillary ways. How much does that thought affect other decisions and choices all day long? Number three, remembering that a belief is only a thought that you've been thinking and practiced for a very long time. Now consider what thought you could begin to think and practice that which would replace it. For example, if you want more money, health, love, joy, etc. in your life, then you have to begin practicing thoughts where you have those things in your life. Write down some statements, scenarios, where you have what you desire. For example, I love having complete and perfect health. My body feels so lean and responsive. I love the way my body feels when I walk, the way my arms swing so freely. I can feel the oxygen moving deep into my lungs and nourishing my every cell. I love the way it's so easy to bend and stretch and jump. Skipping is a trip. Continue like that with any topic and practice thinking new thoughts and more thoughts and more thoughts until they become your new default thought. Write into your journal any arguments that are going on in your mind about the truth of what you are learning here. Get them out and get them on paper. The acid test is whether you feel fear in them, in letting them go. If you feel fear, it's your human mind caught in the act. Write down your fears. Then write what ifs. What if it were true and I really am this free? Number five, renew your promise to yourself to choose you, to love and cherish you daily. Make your decisions from within this new promise of loving yourself. Remember, you can go to appliedspirituality.com/10minutes12weeks. To download the MP3 recording of this message as well as a PDF copy. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, please direct them to coach@appliedspirituality.com, and I will personally answer them. Also, you will benefit from participating in live, life transformational coaching calls every Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To register, go to appliedspirituality.com/coaching. I am reminded to tell you, you have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. You are loved beyond measure. Thank you for being here. This is Kathy Kirk from Applied Spirituality.